Journey Church is a community and movement, a fellowship of discovery. We desire to love well and serve often, while together we explore the adventurous love story of Jesus.
So welcome to Journey Church. It's great to have you with us. My name's Jamie. I have a back problem. It's my opportunity for salvation. I praise the Lord. We have a guest. That's what that's for. We've been in a series called Awakening, and it has been just so much fun to ask questions. And it's funny, people have asked me recently, like, tell me about Journey, where are things at? And I'm like, you know what, we're just in this season of curiosity. And one of our prayers has been, God, we ask for wonder. Like, take us deeper into the mysteries. And so this is a season of asking questions. And one of the hopes has been from day one that we can, as teachers and communicators, and hopefully what's happening in your villages and that sort of thing, hopefully we can ask questions that are agitating. Hopefully we can tell stories. Hopefully we can wonder and spark curiosity. Goes, whoa, wait, what about that? But also go, hey, what if I thought it was this and it's not? Do you know that often in life, most of what we think is one thing is actually something completely different? Have you discovered that yet? And can we allow ourselves to see through a different lens, to see with new eyes? And of course, this is the question Jesus was offering all the time. Both it was a statement and a question, but he who has eyes to see and who has ears to hear, will you awaken? Will you see what you haven't seen? And it comes through faith. And going, boy, who could we have here who could ask some really good questions and who could tell some really wonderful stories that might poke and prod and allow us to see things through a different light? There is nobody else on the planet I would rather have here for this than this man. His name is Ted Decker. He's an author. He's written over 10 million books. Is that right? Something like that? He sold 10 million books. It seems like he's written them. I got the number wrong in all three services. I was like, well, he sold 2 million, 10 million, I don't know. He's written a lot of books. He's sold a lot of books, but he is just a wonderful storyteller, and he's become a dear friend. And I gotta show you these graphics because I'll forget. Coming out in May, the 49th. Because what we're gonna talk about, probably if you feel the same way we have from the previous two gatherings, there are all these wait, what? I gotta know more about this. So he's a novelist, among other things, and this is a novel. It's part one of a two-part series called The 49th Mystic. I've read it already. It's mind-blowing. It's incredible. So if you like to read in novel form, there's this. But Ted's also been working on a 45-day meditation, which kind of takes these concepts and just drops them into, like, basically if you're having a devotional time or a quiet time and sitting with the Lord, and it starts with two or three scriptures, and then it's this opportunity to climb into these scriptures and think about them. And a lot, so many of them are just Jesus' teachings and some passages from Paul and others. But it's called The Way to Love. That comes out the same time. And so if you go, hey, how can I hear about more? You can look for those in May. And if I can talk Ted into getting some earlier on, I'll try. To use as much time as you can, let's just get to it. Would you please welcome to the stage here at Journey, Mr. Ted Decker.
Thank you.
So, Ted, just as a real quick, let people get to know a little bit about you, your early experiences on the planet, what shaped you in this jar of clay, earthen vessel.
This life.
Yeah. Share a little bit about.
So I was born into this life. My name's Ted Decker. Actually, it's Teo, which is short for Theodore. But in this here in America, they call me Ted. Ted Decker.
But is that Indonesian Teo?
No, that's Dutch for Theodore, short for Theodore. They say Theodore. Oh. But when I said T-H-E-O, how is it spelled, then people call me Theo. And I'm not Theo. So then I made a decision, okay, we'll go ahead and go with Ted.
Oh.
Especially once I became like an author and stuff like that. People. Anyway, but I was born the son of missionaries in the jungles of Indonesia amongst cannibals who ate my parents' coworkers when I was six. And you've had that experience.
I was going to say, that's it.
Someone said yes. It's like, yes! Steak! And we all have our flavor.
This is the late gathering. They're hungry.
Okay, they're hungry. Yes. No, listen.
We have some sick people here, Ted. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I would try a finger. I would. Okay, never mind. I probably had one. I didn't know it. But so, Back to earth.
Yes. Oh, this is going to happen a lot, I can tell already. Okay.
No, we're going to talk about some serious...
We are going to. Stuff.
Stuff. But seriously, that didn't bother me so much. Like, it's foggy, you know. That there's been books written about that. But what really shook me to the core is that when I was six, at the same time, my parents' coworkers were being killed and eaten over there in the jungle. I was sent to a boarding school, and I was separated from my parents. And once I realized what was happening, it's almost like going into this, you know, for me anyway, it's like, you know, those movies you've seen of like, you know, Jews being loaded onto a car and they don't realize until they get off. And like, where are we? I thought we were going to a workstation. What are those ashes rising into the sky? I mean, maybe I'm being a bit dramatic, but anyway, it was like that. That first night, I suddenly realized I had been separated from my parents and I was going to be here. I had lost every tether to my identity as a young child. And I cried I cried myself to sleep for months. And but they were doing it for the gospel, you know. And I had to find a way to get past that in my later in life. And now I realized that was a traumatic experience. I realized though that actually it was a beautiful gift. At the time I saw it as a time of suffering, as a time of hardship, a victim of the world. I now see it as a beautiful gift given to me to let go of my identity as son of an earthly father so that through the course of life, I would then awaken to my identity as the son of an eternal father and my eternal nature, an eternal being who's always been in union with him, with God. And what an amazing journey that has been. So really, my entire life was from that first breaking at age six has become this obsessive search for who am I. It's like that little children's book with that mother with, you know, it's like this little bird or something. And it goes around to all these animals. Are you my mother? Are you my mother? Yeah, you parents know this. Yeah, are you my mother? Well, who are you and who is your mother? Jesus said, call no man on earth father, for your father is heaven. He said, who is my mother? Who is my, right? He said, unless you hate your mother, your father, you cannot follow me. The Buddhists put it another way. The first step to transformation is to kill your parents. Meaning, let go of the identity.
I'm glad we do it our way. I like that version.
Jesus' way is the same. He said, you hate, it means let go of your attachment to. In other words, you cannot discover your essential identity and who you always have been without letting go of the shell that protects, that hides that identity called all the relationships and all the attachments you have in this life. And my journey has been one from a missionary kid who was essentially abandoned by their parents, by his parents, through being an author, becoming very successful, and then my fame and money becoming another slave master of mine that ultimately had to be broke. I mean, this whole journey that I'm still in right now, but through it all, coming to an awakening of my identity and awakening into a love that is blowing my mind, and it is a journey we're all on. And there's no difference, really, between any of us. Just the scenery changes and the stage changes and the movie changes, but it's the same journey of awakening. That's who we are.
This is so we've been talking about this idea of finding our true identity, recognizing that we're an expression of the divine, and we're in this vessel. We're in this earthen vessel, this jar of clay, this thing. Life appears for as a vapor for a little while, vanishes away. The interface for actually working out life in this planet, in this vessel, is often stuck between the idea of fear and love. And we've had lots of conversations about that.
Yeah.
It's been really, really helpful for me in my own walk to often go, I mean, literally in the moment sometimes, I feel an energy come up and go, ooh, what am I feeling? Is that fear? Or am I in fear or am I in love? And it's been really easy for me to then go, oh, that does that feel like hell or does that feel like heaven?
Yeah.
Does that feel like darkness or does that feel like light? And all these metaphors used by Jesus and Paul in particular just coming to life for me out of Scripture. But I get stuck there still a lot, that place of fear. And maybe can you talk a little bit about that and how do we break through that? All of us, the struggle with loss, loss of how people perceive me or loss of actual physical things, loss of health, loss of whatever. How do we stay on that quest and find who we are in Christ and not get lost in fear?
Well, first of all, okay, let's just describe. I'm going to go with a language here. And I'm glad you set me up this way, you know, like we're just asking questions. So you have to understand, first of all, English is not my native tongue, so if I say things I shouldn't say, that's my excuse. Secondly, you have to understand that in one very real way, we are actually like ants on the side of a computer discussing the processor, and our language isn't really, like, we're all, none of us know what we're talking about on one level.
Like, this mystery is just...
We're little children, yeah. It's a mystery, and it's like, well, I think, so let's give ourselves massive amounts of grace. Because ultimately, what we're doing is this. We're on a journey together, all of us. Everyone on the entire planet is on this journey from the moment they're born of actually coming to know their source and their own identity as an aspect of that source. It doesn't matter, you know, that's my language for it, right? So you can know all about it, and we've done this very well in Christianity. We talk about things, and we have all kinds of theories, and then we begin to defend our own theories, and we call them denominations, and we separate ourselves. You know what I'm talking about, right? This church, it seems to me, is one who says, enough. Let's go and know God. It's like this. Imagine an avocado. You can know all about that avocado. You can dissect it. You can develop theories about it. You can actually now figure out what it's made of, and you can build an entire shrine to it filled with people that are all experts on avocados, and you can build a temple and worship the avocado. We call it the Bible, but anyway. And then, that wasn't part of the story. Edit that. And so... Do you know the avocado? No. You know about the avocado. Now, a small child can walk into the room, pick it up and says, avocado? And eat it, bite it, and he tastes it. And he goes, good. Taste and see that I am good. Now, he knows the avocado. No one else knows it, but he's tasted, he's experienced God. Now the others say, well, you tasted the avocado. You ate it. What does it taste like? Does anyone know what an avocado tastes like? Tell me. That's not a taste. Tastes like God?
Yes!
The child speaks!
Yeah! Well done, son. Well done. He looked up from his coloring book at just the right moment.
So when you try to describe what you have known, yeah, this is called mystery. When you try to describe it to somebody, you may not be understood. Because you're going to say, well, it's creamy. Well, it's this. Actually, it's almost impossible to describe. But you know when you've tasted, you know it. Now, do you know love? So, first of all, we forgive ourselves for the language we use, you understand? And if someone else says it this way, we don't disagree with each other necessarily. We just allow each other to take our journeys. Our journey is to come into taste and to know. So, we know fear very well, do you not? Do you not all know fear? In fact, fear is so tightly woven into the fabric of our everyday lives that we don't even recognize it half the time as being fear. We call it wisdom. And the wisdom of the world has put us to bed every night saying, be careful. Do not. Be careful. Little eyes, what you see. Be careful, be careful. And we've taken it as wisdom. And so we're full of fear. Now, we know that there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. Fear has to do with punishment, i.e., if you do this, this will happen. So be careful. And we live enslaved by fear and with more masks than we can possibly imagine. So we've lost sight of what love even is. In fact, nobody's even showed us what love is because we ourselves live in fear. Jesus came to show us the way out of that hell. Yes, I know, heaven and hell in the next life. Develop your own, you can hold on to whatever beliefs you want about that. But right now, we're interested, you know, none of us have been there. At least that we know of, right? Maybe near-death experiences some of us have. But right now, let's talk about the fear and the love in this life. So think of all of life as having two primary energies. You have fear, and that fear, let's call darkness. These are other words that Jesus used. Darkness, yeah? Blindness, yeah? Now you have love, light, same thing. The light that knows no darkness, sight. Unless a man is born again, meaning comes, he cannot see, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Meaning, unless you go through this complete and radical transformation of your entire perceptual, you know, capacity of life, you cannot even see love. You cannot experience love. You cannot experience and see the kingdom of heaven. That requires it's like coming out of the birth canal again and realizing there's a whole new world. In the same space that you once saw fear, 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 you now see love, 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 love. Do we want to live in love? Yes. Because there is no fear in love.
Hmm. And Jesus says the wisdom of the world is its foolishness. Right?
Yeah, and also the gospel is foolishness to that part of us that is perishing. So the good news of the kingdom, the small self, you use small self here.
Yeah, earthen vessel, okay. Jar, clay.
Earthen vessel, jar, clay, lower nature, all these, yeah. They're all the same thing, is incapable of understanding or experiencing true love. That part of you gets to essentially die, was Jesus' language.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so much a renunciation as a letting go. Unless you hate your entire life, letting go of your attachment to is what that means. You cannot see yourself and experience yourself as the glorified one, right? All those, we've all been glorified, you know that.
Yeah.
You just taught this already?
Yeah.
Okay, so we are glorified sons and daughters of God. We are divine beings.
I mean, I've tried to teach lots of things. It doesn't mean any of us understand it. But.
Yeah. Well, that's true, you know, so. Or they may not believe it.
Yeah, sure.
But once you begin to experience love that holds no record of wrong, you realize that most of your journey is simply unlearning all the lies. Fear is always a lie. Anything that puts you in fear is based on a lie. When you suffer some kind of abuse, i.e., we have these frameworks in life saying, this is fear, this is the wisdom of the world. Of the world. It's a wisdom of Lucifer. It says this. If you do this, you will be safe. If you do this, you will not be safe. Stay in the boat. Do not go on water. You will drown, metaphorically. You follow. Okay? So, if your spouse is faithful to you, you are safe. If not, you must be in anger and rage. It's funny. I told the story. I have the story in one of my meditations about this man who comes to Jesus and says, and not to Jesus, comes to a sage, to his master, his sage, and says, he drags his wife and says, she has committed adultery. I'm infuriated at her. You must tell her to straighten her ways out. And the sage looks at both of them and he says, well, you're angry at her. Of course. We have vows. I see. Well, let me tell you. I see before me an adulteress and a murderer. Whom do you say I should forgive? Or whom should I ask to change their ways? So, this is Jesus' teaching. You understand. When you were angry with your brother for any reason, you were murdering them. This is Jesus' teaching. What did he mean? Is it possible to go? I'm not saying you shouldn't get angry. You can get angry, whatever you like, but you are entering into a hellish experience when you judge and get angry. Can you imagine going through life, walking on those troubled waters where you do not express rage or anger at all the things that you see yourself to be a victim of? Can you imagine being that way? That's called abiding in love. And in that space, you are invulnerable. Otherwise, you're always going to be a victim of fear. Do you understand? We always are. Do we not want to be free at some point? How about today? Can we let go of our identification of all these things that seem to threaten us to abide as the sons and daughters of God in a place, in a love that holds no record of wrong, as Paul puts it, a love that is not provoked? Can we do that? The answer is yes. Become like little children. Forget everything you were taught. Pretend you know nothing. In fact, know nothing to know who you truly are. And that's our journey. And what a beautiful, beautiful journey that is.
So you, to approach this with a sense of humility, a sense of curiosity, because when you say, which Jesus said all the time, you know, suffer the little children now, like let them come, because this is an example of what the kingdom is like. There's almost like there's a purity of soul in it. There's this sense of like, I guess that's it. It's curiosity, wonder, and humility. And somewhere as life goes on, we begin to lose those. And would you say we lose those because of fear?
We absolutely lose it because of fear. I mean, really, there's only love and fear. There's only two energies. Imagine right now that they're just flowing right here. You can be in one or you can be in the other. It's that simple. The only question is your first question, how?
Yeah.
How do you let go of that fear?
Yes, how?
Because we're bounded to it. We are married to it. We have made covenants with it. We have all made agreements with fear.
And when we try to fight it, like, no, get away, when we try to run out, it seems like it just gets bigger. It just
feeds because what you resist pushes back harder. You know, Jesus said, do not resist the evil man when he comes against you. He's talking about energy. You follow?
Like the evil one inside, like when I bring up
Okay.
So anything. Don't resist. So if I'm not going to resist, what do I do?
What do you do? I mean, like, does it ever work in a marriage? Like if you guys are in a dating relationship and you're arguing, does it ever actually work? Someone makes a point, you go back stronger, and has anybody found it to work? Because because it doesn't. I mean, I've been married 30 years. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And I was like, crap, next time I'm just going to be quiet. I got to be quiet, but I can't resist just to say, but.
Hold on,
you know, because we're looking for honor. Let me tell you a story.
Please.
There's the pathway of letting go of fear, because all offense, all grievance, it's all fear of loss. Everything that ever bothers you, everything, if a bee flies in the room, you're afraid of loss, meaning the afraid of loss of your comfort, and you're going to experience pain. Everything is fear of loss.
That's true, yeah.
Everything is fear of loss. So there's only fear. Your emotions are like an internal guidance system. By the way, never blame yourself for being in fear. We're just like little kids learning how to walk. I mean, we're just learning how, we're just barely being born again. It's okay. So we don't condemn ourselves. So, where was I?
Fear. B.
Oh, B. So the B, so everything you feel is fear. So as we go through life, this fear, this energy of fear, we're married to it. And the one way to let go of that fear, in fact, the only way to let go of it is to forgive it. To forgive means to let go. To let go. To let go of the offense that holds us hostage to it. You are married to fear. The good news is you can be married to love. And this is the journey. I had a friend, her name is Sid Ozenbaum, and she read one of my books, and I interviewed her. I just at random picked her out of thousands of people to interview. I had no idea who she was off my Facebook page. Picked her, she put her name into a drawing. And she said, Ted, before we begin, I want to tell you my story. I am an Assembly of God pastor. And she said, you know, I had a problem my whole life with weight. And I'm a pastor, right? My husband and I are pastors. And yet, I began to put on weight, heavier weight, and heavier weight. What became 200 pounds became 250, became 300 pounds. We're talking serious challenge with weight. And she said it wasn't just, it was like debilitating. So I went to the doctors and did everything I could, and therapy and diets, and I don't know if she had gastric bypass or whatever that's called. I don't know. But she said I did everything I could possibly do, 400, 450, like life-threatening now. And one day, she says, I was walking in the Spirit. I'm desperate. And the Spirit spoke to me and said, you are wearing your grievance. Now, she said, Ted, when I heard that, I recoiled because I knew what it was about. And I had been through therapy. And I had done everything. There's no way I was still wearing that grievance. I refused to listen. 6 months later, I became so desperate that I once again surrendered myself and said, okay, show me. you are wearing your grievance. And she said, I was walking in my living room and suddenly I was caught up into this vision. And in the vision, I was once again, as I had been in my early teen years, being raped by three boys, i.e. grievance. And it was horrifying to me. It was like it was happening again. I thought I had forgiven it. And here I was reliving it. And this time, there's Jesus right there standing. He wasn't there before. At least I hadn't seen him. And she said, the thing of it was, he's looking at the boys with this compassion and love. And as soon as I saw that, I went, no! No, 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 no! Right? This is wrong! And he turned and he looked at me. And the moment I saw his eyes, I felt his heart towards me and the boys. And it was like, I see no wrong. Love holds no record of wrong. Now, this is not my story. It's her story. She said, Ted, in that moment, he gave me his heart for her, for the boys. And when he did, I let go of all of my grievance. And in that moment, I only loved them.
Wow.
It was miraculous. And she said, today, I weigh 120 pounds. The weight fell off me. What happened to her? What happened to her in that moment? But how? How? The only thing that changed, you're all right, the only thing that changed is that her perception of the events changed. You follow me? Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. He's going to see fear. It's a perceptual shift. That's the only thing that changed. She was still being raped. We're all victims, by the way. We've all been raped by life. In a late night argument, we feel like we're being raped by someone. When someone breaks up, we feel abused. When someone dishonors us and makes fun of us on Facebook or whatever it is, that's all forms of rape. Okay, so let's just take it there. We are perceiving it in fear, are we not? Jesus had this beautiful, beautiful teaching. There's so many teachings on perception. And they're all in that book. Or Jamie's teaching them to you too. So he said this, the eye, meaning perception, the eye, singular, eye, the eye is the lamp of the body. The lamp, your perception determines, it will show you, it determines the life you have in this physical form. Your life is dependent on your perception. Like you're making your life through your perception. If the eye is clear, the whole body is full of light. Meaning your whole experience will be full of light. You don't see darkness. Right? But if your perception is not clear, the light within is darkness, and how deep is that darkness? Good and evil are in the eye of the beholder. That's a real simple way to put it. To the extent you're not seeing the way I see, you'll live in suffering. To the extent you see the rape, the abuse, your spouse yelling at you in a late night argument, through your own lower nature, fear-based eyes, you will live in hell. How deep is that darkness? So perception is our journey. The reality isn't going to change as much as our perception of it. And our journey is from a fear-based perception into having the eyes of the kingdom, having the eyes of Christ. And in those eyes, there is no record of wrong. There is no fear in love. There is beauty. There is rapture. There is bliss. All those things you've heard about. And nothing can harm you. And you've all experienced it. Who's experienced that for at least even a moment, maybe in time of worship, where all the things of the world grow strangely dim, everything falls? Who's experienced it? The rest of you have not, or are you just not raising your hands? So we've all experienced that, yeah? Love. Would you like to live there all the time? That's Jesus' invitation. It's really the only invitation that exists.
So Ted, is the how, or one of the primary hows, forgiveness? Like that changes your perception? The letting go of the energy?
It's the only I mean, you can use different languaging. Forgiveness is, Jesus said, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven. You have the power, we have the power of forgiveness. We actually have the power to hold on to or to let go of. But the small self, the earthen vessel self, cannot do that.
It literally can't. It's not just an I don't want to. It's only going to strive. It's going to fight. It's going to thrash around.
Its identity comes from holding on to greed. It is that part of us that is. It must protect itself.
But then if we go, oh, I'm so frustrated with that. I'm so frustrated with the earthen vessel. Then we bring judgment on it.
Another form of fear. Judgment is just fear masqueraded as some form of righteousness. You know.
And which is, again, I guess probably the little self trying to take control again. And ultimately then it becomes letting go even to that. It's letting go not just I gotta let go of this so I can forgive someone else, but it's this letting go, because I think a lot of times we just haven't forgiven ourselves.
Well, it's the only path to freedom. Do we want to be free or do we want to be enslaved? Mm. The only way to free ourselves from the slavery of fear is to let go of it. But we've made an agreement with fear. We actually have an energetic bond with
which
fear.
Which you bind
we think it's our protector. It is the God, it is idolatry. We have made fear, the wisdom of the world, our God. It will save us. So we have made this, our journey is to, you can't let go of it as a small self. You can only put your eyes onto the Christ. So it's like, we know if I'm walking on water, imagine that water is all the troubles of the world. Water represents all the fear of the world, right? So you get this picture? Remember Jesus and Peter walking on water? So let's use that story as a metaphor for every day of our lives. Now we know something about that water, don't we? You cannot walk on water. You will drown. We are fearful of stepping out of the boat into that water. We cling to our boats. It's our religion, our philosophies, our job, whatever it is. Nothing wrong with them, but we cling to them because the water is dangerous. We step onto the water, we put our eyes on Christ, and he says, you can, like I. You want to walk on the troubled seas of this life? You can. Step out of the boat. Well, Jesus, we step out of the boat, and we're walking on the troubled waters, but then we put our eyes back on the water, back on the troubles, and you have like this energetic bond with it already in agreement. You begin to fear, and you begin to what? It does exactly what you expect it to do, which is drown you. When we put our eyes back on Christ, the only thing that can save us in this life is aligning to the light, Christ, our true identity in him. So it's not by renunciation or cursing fear, that's just joining it. It's actually by aligning to the light. As we align to the light, that fear falls away of its own kind, it falls away. You'll feel it falling away as you align. One night I remember I first discovered this in an intimate relationship with my wife, where we were in an argument one night, maybe many years ago, maybe 7 or 8, not so long ago, but when I had this, I was struggling with this, and I was learning all these things, and and one night we were in this late night argument about something that probably didn't matter, but it felt like it did. I felt very dishonored. And she must have as well, because she was yelling at me. And this had happened 1,000 times, 1,000,000 maybe. You know, because you always marry your monster, right? I mean, someone who reflects your greatest fears ultimately at some level.
Thank you for clarifying.
That's the only purpose of a relationship, by the way. You'll finally figure it out, is to actually bring yourself into surrender. Ultimately you are it's an opportunity for salvation. An intimate relationship is the crucible of transformation. You'll always have your greatest struggles with, your greatest enemy is always that who's closest to you. If you add up all the troubles in life, it's like, yeah, it was him. Right? This is not true. I mean, if it's not true, it's only because you guys are young pups and it's only been a couple of years. Just give it a few. Relationships, but here's the thing. So
stay in the story with your wife. Finish that story.
That story, yeah, my wife. So in that process, what happened was I suddenly was somehow able to see beyond this. I saw this insanity happening. It wasn't me, but something in me almost just shifted. Because probably I had come to the end of my struggling. Mm. Because something in me just broke in that night. Something just, and I said, this isn't working. This is just a, right? Like the eggshell broke and the yolk came out. That has to happen, that process. And in that process, I suddenly, the whole room shifted, and I looked over here, and she was like angry at me. I think she might have been crying. But it was all like strangely dim. It's like, whoa. And my offense fell from me like shackles. I set myself free. And I realized it was, I'm the only one who can ever bind myself or free myself. And her mouth was moving strange, like this puppet. And it wasn't even her, really. She was just a beautiful, divine being who was animated in this thing that didn't know who it was and looking for salvation through me treating her a certain way, and I was doing the same thing, and we were using each other like drugs, and whoa, no, this is not even, and I just let go of my identification as an earthen vessel, and then the whole room was shifting around me. I had this supernatural experience in the midst, and Jesus said, what good does it do to love those who love you in return? What good does it do to love your spouse or your parents or whoever while they're being nice to you? Anybody can do that. Rather, true love is expressed in the storm. Now you're talking love that holds no record of wrong. Really? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's like being in a boat. Last story. It's like being in a boat.
It's the last gathering.
Okay, right.
We know they're hungry.
Well,
but
listen. Okay, story of the storm. Listen, Jesus, powerful. His teachings are so amazing. Why hasn't anybody taught this to us? Well, never mind that. Jamie's teaching us now. So, and by the way, it should end. It shouldn't stop. You could, no. 6 weeks doesn't.
Okay. The Awakening series will never end.
The awakening doesn't end.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
We're just learning that it's possible.
Yeah. You're right. It's true. Story. We're going to close with a story. Do you remember which story it was?
Yeah.
I think we did the water story.
Yeah. I'm not forgetting.
Oh, you're just taking the moment in. They're beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah. Do you want to know who you are? You guys want to know who you are? You're already taking the journey. All the struggles you face in your life are like practice. They're part of the journey. You've never failed. You've never done anything wrong from the higher perspective. Just go with me on this. It's ninja training. Just because you bloody your hand when you're punching the palm tree to make your knuckles strong doesn't mean that blood's a bad thing. It's what it takes to become a warrior, so to speak, in that analogy. All the troubles you've had in your life are just practice of learning it doesn't work that way. Mm. The law is a schoolmaster. It teaches us it doesn't work and leads us to grace. Mm. You understand this? It's like you're in a boat and a storm comes. And the storm is ravaging and it's huge and it's terrifying. Yeah? And you are terrified for your life because you see it. And your master, he sleeps at the bottom of the boat. And you're like, Master, save us. This is Jesus' story, you know? You wake him up, save us. And he gets up and he says, he asked the most obscene question, offensive question. Why are you afraid? Hmm. Well, the miracle is that he was sleeping in the storm. Hmm. And you see, I mean, what do you mean, why was I afraid? I'm being raped. Yeah. What do you mean, why am I afraid? My wife hates me. He's dishonoring me. I lost my job. I have cancer. All the fears of all humanity are locked up in that storm. every one of them. And Jesus has one question for you. Your master, Yeshua, who came to show you the way out of fear and into love, asks one question for you. Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? You've identified with the wrong thing.
There it is.
You don't know who you are. And then as an aftermath, he calms the storm. That wasn't the miracle. Can we find peace in the storm? Because they will keep coming. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but have great courage because I have overcome. I used to think, well, he's overcome, but what about me? But you guys have been learning, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm that in Christ.
We are in him and he is in us, meaning Christ is all and in all, meaning Christ is us and in us. In other words, we have overcome too, and we can only experience that overcoming as we realize that we are one with him.
Yeah.
He is manifest as us. Christ is us and in us. Only as we awaken to our union with our Father, with God, as the Christ, can we ever, ever rise out of fear and experience that love which holds no record of wrong and which knows no fear. And so that is our invitation today, which is why we're here.
Amen. What do you thank Ted for being with us?
Amen.
Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much. Thank you for giving us the gift of faith. Thank you for the dignity of choice. Thank you for the adventure that's before us that we call life, and we recognize that you are the author. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We are a part of you and a part of the story, and for that we're grateful. And God, while we struggle through this life, would you continue to inspire us and guide us? Thank you for the teachings of Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how you use people's stories and their lives and their insight. Thank you for Ted. And God, we pray a blessing upon him and his family. Would you keep us on this path of awakening, that we would see who we are in you, that we would let ourselves be in love, and we would shed the fear. God, thank you for calling us to remembrance. Thank you for the table. Where we do remember, we take the bread and the cup to remember sacrifice and love. Thank you for making a way, for being the portal into the kingdom. And so we worship and remember today. Thank you, God.